This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We had Nick Caserio on yesterday. This time yesterday, we were talking to the Texans executive vice president and general manager. You can find the entire conversation on our YouTube page. You can find it on the Odyssey app. The Payne and Pendergast podcast as well. Plenty of places to find it. Good conversation. The typical 40 to 45 minute chat with Nick. We enjoyed that. Offensive line, a big topic for this team this offseason. Maybe the biggest topic has been the offensive line, because if you're a, we know in Houston how we felt about the offensive line all year last year, and they've gone to great efforts to change a lot of the faces on there, including the people coaching the offensive line. One of the guys sticking around, Titus Howard. And we know he can play guard. We know he can play tackle. Do we know, Nick, if Titus is going to be playing tackle or guard as we head towards training camp?
I would say specific to Titus, that's an example of a player that he's actually shown that he can play at a good level at either spot. So there is sort of an innate level of versatility. I think sometimes that term is used a little, I would say not carelessly or freely, but that the assumption is a player just has position versatility because of A, certain measurables, or B, should be able to do it. But if you've actually never seen him do it, it's hard to make that extrapolation and to make that assessment. And you're really not going to know with that player until you actually get into training camp, because it's a little bit of a dynamic.
And I guess the thing I would wonder, Seth, like, so does this mean that we could see in training camp, and this would be a stark contrast to last year where they just trotted the first team out there and that was who was going to start against Indianapolis, it seemed, and it ended up being in week one. Like, do we see reps at practice where Titus is at right tackle with a group and then they go, okay, next group in, and then Titus is at left guard with another group? Or do you think, like, if they keep him in one place, like, and let it roll?
I wouldn't be surprised if he's done that. I'm just trying to go back through my memory bank. I'm guessing we've seen that before anyway.
Yeah,
he's done it enough now at this point that I don't think you don't worry about messing up his technique or permanently damaging him if he has to be versatile within one individual practice. But I don't know. He is now a veteran player, and I think he still has upside in a lot of ways in his game, and hopefully his scheme can kind of bring that out of him. But he's the least of my concerns. He's not your ideal left guard. He's not your ideal right tackle. But in comparison to the other issues or question marks on the team right now, that he's the one you feel, all right, you at least know what you have in him. He's still going to have to compete to be. I do genuinely think that every one of these guys has to prove that they deserve their starting spot this year. So it's not a foregone conclusion that any of these guys will be starters. It's just he's the one where you feel most comfortable if slotting him in at either of those spots if they have to.
Well, the one thing D'Amico has said repeatedly, and Nick may have said it too at some point this offseason, but I can remember D'Amico saying it, is the five best guys are going to play. And I think it's safe to say that unless Titus comes in out of shape or he just drops off a cliff, he's one of their five best guys right now with this group, right? I think that's a pretty safe assumption.
And again, that's not saying that he's all pro or anything.
That's
the state of the offensive line right
Correct.
Now. It's really, really hard. I don't even like giving an answer when people say, what do you expect the starting offensive line to look like? I can honestly tell you, I don't have a single clue. I think most likely Cam Robinson is your starting left tackle. I think most likely right now, Titus Howard is your starting right tackle at the beginning of the year. But I genuinely don't have a clue, and I have zero confidence in it. I will be that way until September.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. You just answered my question. Damn it. I was going to say, like, should we? You know how they do bracketology during the college basketball season? They're like, if the brackets were to come out today, here's what they would look like.
Yeah.
See, I have the stomach for this. It sounds like you might not, but like, man, we should just...
It's not that... No.
Well, here's what... I was going to say, like, if we came in the next day after each training camp practice and said, if we had to put a starting five out there today based on what we've seen with our own eyes out of practice, here's who it would be.
Okay.
Do it every day. I don't think that would be... I don't know.
It's... I mean, there's so much about this offense right now that's frustrating just because you genuinely won't have a clue until September.
Yeah.
Who the starting offensive line is, who if Nick Caley's a good offensive coordinator, and then that goes on, you don't know in September whether he's good or bad.
Sure.
Take any given year and see the promising starts and the disappointing finishes and vice versa.
Slowick was up for head coaching jobs after his first year. You may not know after a year if he's a good offensive coordinator.
So we just don't know about so much of this stuff.
Sure.
And I think the thing I do know, or at least I feel, is that I think it will be a genuine competition all along the offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
My hopes would be that Ursary or Blake Fisher, just one of those two guys, really impresses. And that maybe Ursary is starting at right tackle and Titus, because of that. If Titus Howard is playing left guard, it's not going to be because they're not comfortable with him at right tackle. It's going to be because they haven't been impressed by one of the two young offensive. And I'll add Ladarius Henderson and Trent Brown and everybody else into that mix. If anybody impresses at offensive tackle, I think there will be a different guy than Titus Howard at right tackle. That's hard to do in training camp. There's just not that many reps anymore.
Well, unless Titus Howard, if he's playing right tackle, unless he's taking some leap where he looks like a Pro Bowler in training camp, and I think that's really hard to... Well, I mean, he's going to be going against good guys if it's ones-on-ones. If the starting tackles, assuming health for everybody, if the starting tackles are Cam Robinson and Titus Howard, I promise you one of the biggest topics that listeners will want to be pulling us into here, and I think it's a good topic, is, okay, you just used a second-round pick on Blake Fisher last year. You used the second-round pick on Ariante Ursary this year, and neither of these guys are starting right now at either of the tackle spots. You know, again, unless Cam Robinson and Titus Howard are just that much better than everybody else.
All right, maybe I'm being too cynical, and you know how I hate rookies to begin with. Is it more likely that one of those two guys is going to impress or at least make the coaches comfortable enough that he can play right tackle? So whether it's Blake Fisher or Ursary or the Darius Henderson or Titus Howard, Trent Brown.
Yeah.
One of those guys will be the right tackle, and then Titus. Okay, I've revised my opinion.
Yeah.
Titus Howard is more likely to be the starting left guard. And I think Lakin Tomlinson is a guy who's entering his mid-30s.
Yeah.
And probably they feel good about having as a potential swing interior.
They like him in the room. You know, they like having... I think they want more and more guys just in that room that embody what they want from an offensive line group. If I were a betting man right now, I would say Cam Robinson at left tackle, Titus Howard at left guard, and Blake Fisher at right tackle. Those would be my guesses at those positions.
Pure guesses, obviously. That makes sense. I'll take that one.
Pure guesses.
Did you say it right tackle?
Blake Fisher.
Yeah.
Blake Fisher. Here's Nick Caserio on this rebuild and versatility on the offensive line.
I would say in our situation, we feel like we have a number of players that will be able to compete in the offensive line, and we have certain levels of players or certain grouping of players. You have sort of tackle-only group. You have tackles that can play guard. And I would say in Titus's case, he's proven that he can do that. On the inside part of the line, you have players that are center only. You have players that are guard only. You have players that can play all three inside spots. So what we're trying to do is build up as much depth and versatility, like legit versatility, not just on a piece of paper. You're going to pencil something in. This guy can do multiple things, all to arrive sort of at the same end point. Who are the five best guys that we feel most comfortable with? We're going to have eight players at the game more than likely. So you're going to have your five starters and then your three backups. You're going to have a next tackle. You're going to have a next inside player. And then you're going to have an extra player. And then what do you do if you lose a tackle? Who goes to that spot? Do you put the third tackle in the game? Do you move somebody from a different position? So there's different, but similar to draft, there's going to be a little bit of an ebb and flow here, and we'll get more information here as we work through the process.
Okay, so there you go. So Nick said it himself on the show yesterday, five best guys. So he
Nick's
to
telling
make-
you the same thing I'm saying. It's like, I don't know. Right. They gotta compete it out and figure it out. The guys who are, I guess, the guys who are versatile enough to play both tackle and guard, we know that they like Tytus Howard and his ability to do that. I would tell you the tackles that I don't think are going to be playing guard this year are Cam Robinson, Blake Fisher, Ursary. Yeah, Ariante Ursary.
Trent Brown.
Yeah, and Trent Brown. I don't think those guys are probably going to be playing guard. Whereas, Ladarius Henderson might have the ability to play guard. Nick Broeker, I think, can play both guard and tackle.
Yeah.
But the name brand tackles, I don't really see a whole lot of. I'm not eager to see many of those guys at guard.
Yeah, the biggest bucket of players they have is tackle only. That's four guys in that tackle only bucket right there. So
yeah, Blake Fisher. Maybe I'm being Blake Fisher. He has the athleticism to do it. He needs to be able to play with a better pad level, and hopefully with just getting more of his man strength, he might be able to do that. Blake Fisher, I would put as a wild card that they might give him some go at guard.
That's interesting.
If they have to.
Yep,
yeah,
that's interesting. Here was Nick Caserio on rookie Ariante Ursary.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that, Seth. I think the first two, three weeks, you should have.
Seth's question was about Ursary possibly bumping inside to guard. So this very topic we're talking about.
No, my question was about Ursary's athleticism.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of assessing his athleticism.
Okay, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that, Seth. I think the first two, 3 weeks, you should have an understanding of, A, how it's going and whatever position that player is playing. I think one of the things you always have to be conscious of, you never want to put the player in a position that's not favorable to him. If you're asking a player to do something that he's never done before, where's that sort of line of demarcation of when you, A, introduce it, and then, B, how much work can you actually get done? You have to take the player. It's always case by case. Some can handle a little bit more than others, but you just want to make sure you're not putting the player in a position that's not favorable to them, where they really can't accentuate their strengths and do what they do well. So I would say in Tay's case, and D'Amico mentioned this the other day, Tay's a tackle, really, until he's not. So I think the focus initially will be on tackle, and then we'll see kind of how we mix and match the rest of the group. Could that change? Possibly. I think the one thing you always have to be prepared for is just about anything. So sometimes you're forced to maybe make some decisions because you injuries or whatever else happens around you. But you want to be smart, and you want to make sure you're making a good decision on behalf of the player.
I was wrong. Sean set that up the right way.
The cut says we'll try at guard, yeah.
I know. I mixed up what I was looking at and what I was thinking about. Sorry, Sean.
That's okay.
The worst thing about it is before you play a Caserio clip and you realize you messed up at the beginning of it, you got to wait
a minute eight to correct yourself.
The biggest thing about all of that is it makes me feel good that they're not trying to force square pegs into round holes, at least, and that, all right, versatility for versatility's sake, like saying somebody's versatile and then hoping that it's true, that feels like how Bill O'Brien used to operate at times. There is like they wanted a guy to be versatile, so he's going to go down and play guard whether he can actually do it or not. I think at the very least, the way Caserio frames it is you gotta really just wait and see what a guy can actually do.
Yeah, man, let him eat what's on his plate and do what he's comfortable doing to start. They did that with Xavier Suofilo, and I think that was probably a big reason why he was just so ratchet off out of the shoot.
Right, they from the get-go.
Yeah, they were playing him everywhere.
Four different positions his rookie year.
Yeah, yeah. They're not going to do that with Ursary, it sounds like. And D'Amico even said that the other day at the golf tournament. Like, no, he's going to – we like what we saw him film as a tackle. He's going to be a tackle to start out with. So there you go. We play all that to say that we will not know diddly squat about the offensive line and who the first five. That'll be the most interesting one. Like, who are the first five that they trot out there as the ones? Because this will be a year where you can read almost nothing into it. You know, like whereas last year it was like, oh, there's the ones, and they stayed the ones all the way up until, other than Laramie Tunsil practicing on some other field, you know, with the elastic bands and things like
that. And honestly, I think the story during training camp, for much of training camp, was, man, the offense really isn't clicking. And we don't know who to blame in terms of either CJ or the receivers, because the problem is CJ can't get the throw off in time in a non-contact practice.
He took so many of those.
Because the defensive line is just destroying the offensive line so thoroughly.
I hate those. The fake sacks. And, I mean, I like them because CJ's not getting hit. But there were so many of those sacks where CJ just eats the ball in the pocket and just stands there. It's like, wait, like what the hell, man?
Like, or there were so many like throws that would make the social media highlights and people are going crazy about it. But meanwhile, if you were at practice, you're like, yeah, he would have gotten sacked three times before CJ made that throw.
Yeah.
He was just kind of throwing it up because in disgust, and somebody came down with it. It's 7 seconds after the snap.
Or he takes off and runs for about 30 yards. Like, yeah, he would never do that in a game. And they're not allowed to touch
him. It's all this stuff that just wasn't – they couldn't run their offense.
They couldn't.
The defense was too good.
And
like, what do you do if you're D'Amico at that point? Tell the defense to bat. Hey, full speed for the offense, three-quarter speed for the defense.
Yep.
Okay, guys?
Yep.
Today we're going to play 11-on-9. No defensive tackles because Mario Edwards has had 4 sacks in the first
Mario
period.
Edwards turned into Reggie White. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sean, is it not pronounced stevia? I've been saying it wrong my whole life, or has Sean been saying it wrong his whole life? I say stevia only because the soda is pronounced Zevia, not Zevia. But I believe it
Are
is pronounced.
Are you sure that it's pronounced Zevia?
Everybody who recommended it to me pronounced it Zevia. So the answer would be no. I'm not sure. I haven't really checked into it. This is the first person
to stevia.
He's right. Like the actual sweetener itself is stevia.
Yeah.
So maybe it is Zevia. I don't know. You're the first person to call me out on it, Texter. I'm not sure.
I do not like the taste of stevia. It's sweet, but for me, there's a nastiness to it. It might as well be saccharin for me.
Yeah.
And I'm you're trying to dupe me.
Yeah.
You're telling me this is sugar, and it's obviously and clearly not sugar.
Someone said that you made them feel like a real jerk for eating a Pop-Tart right now. Seth got asked about what yogurt he eats. Earlier and gave some good some good nutritional advice there.
I don't give nutritional advice. I just tell people what works for me.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing more annoying in the world than when something works for somebody, them saying, "This is how you need to do it."
No, but
everybody's different.
That's true for the little things, but the big piece of advice you gave was you'd cut out refined sugar. And you're sleeping better at night. I don't know of any nutritionists or people out there to like, you should really load up on the refined sugar, you know?
Right. But I'm also, you know what? Like some people, depending on what their metabolism is and like how much exercise they get, like refined sugar is no big deal.
Yeah.
So I just, I mean, that's pretty good blanket advice though.
That's what I mean.
You're never going to hurt yourself by cutting out refined
that's
sugar.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like the effect may be different on others, but I don't think that was necessarily bad advice.
I've spent 35 years since I started paying attention to nutrition. I get so tired of people saying, no, this is the way you lose weight.
Well, like, but you're not going to click on your Instagram posts if you don't say it emphatically, Seth.
This is the only possible way any human being should eat.
The best ones are the ones you've been told for years that .. Those are the best ones because oftentimes I'm like, yeah, I have been told that for years.
Oh, that's the one.
What do you have to say about it, shredded guy that's eating an entire pepperoni pizza? I want to see how you got there. Yeah.
There's this one guy that gets all kinds of traction, and he starts off, because it's come across my timeline a bunch of times. He does this like once every 6 months.
Yeah.
And he starts off saying, vitamin D is such and such and so important, except no doctors talk about it. And I'm like, I haven't gotten my blood done in the last 25 years where my PCP hasn't specifically addressed my vitamin D and talked about the importance of it. But it worked. Like, I don't know. Like, they were like, the doctors won't tell you this.
Yeah, dude.
I'm like, I just, everywhere I turn, there's some doctor telling me about my vitamin D
levels. You're among the tippy top of the percentage that are actually going to check them on that. You know what I mean?
Am I just lucky enough to have had good and I've had like 8 different primary care guys over the last 20
years.
You're
a professional athlete. You've got access to better health care, at least during your playing career, than the average person does.
I could go down to the 24-hour health, the drive-through emergency room there, and they're going to ask me about my vitamin D.
Yeah.
I don't go to, ever since I was done with football, I'm talking about since I've been done with football.
Yeah.
Just my random run-of-the-mill primary care person.
All right. Did the Rockets cause the injury that is changing the face of the playoffs? And this is a good candidate, excuse me, for Take-A-Mania. I just burped on the air. This is a huge candidate for taking. I know it's this. It's the bubbly I'm drinking right
it's
now.
It's your stevia.
It's not. I'm on bubbly today. I'm not on the stevia today. Sorry about that, listeners. My bad. The candidate for the worst take of the week is coming up next.